So that would be the Epiphany proclamation, which we always kind of forget about. It just like sprung up on me this morning as well. Dominic met me in the sacristy before the 10 o'clock mass and said, "Father Brian, you want me to sing the Epiphany proclamation?" I said, "Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have that today, don't we?" Yeah. So the Epiphany proclamation every year, just FYI, is the proclamation of the feasts of the liturgical year that are not bound to a specific day of the calendar year, but shift according, relatively speaking, to the week in which they will occur. So all of the, like for example, Christmas happens on the 25th of December every year, right? Not a movable feast. But Easter is a movable feast. It doesn't happen on the same day every year. So anyways, at the beginning of the church year in this Epiphany Sunday, we always hear the Epiphany proclamation. So thank you, Dominic, for doing that. For the last few days, I've been at a conference down in Toledo called the Encounter Conference. They've been running it for a few years now in Toledo as well. I was at this conference last year on this weekend as well and returned to it this year. And really wonderful conference. There were probably about 3,000 Catholics that were there at the conference set up by a school of ministry in the Diocese of Lansing, located in the city of Brighton, called the Encounter School of Ministry. It's run by one of our diocesan priests, Father Matthias Thalen, whom some of you, or perhaps many of you, may know at least his name, who he is. So at this Encounter Conference, it's the one who goes to the Encounter Conference is simply anybody who desires to be used by God, and to live in the gift of God's power and the gift of God's love, and the gift of God's gifts of his Spirit that he wants to pour forth upon his church. And I was able to, gratefully, as I said, attend this conference last year, was really moved by it and knew that I wanted to go back. So I just got back pretty late last night, taking a nap after this mass, that's for sure. But it was wonderful. God really moves. God wants to reveal himself to his church. And God chooses particular times and particular seasons to have special kinds of visitations. Epiphany Sunday is exactly that lesson. Epiphany Sunday is the day that we celebrate that God was first revealed to the world in the persons of not only the shepherds, but the wise men that came from the east to do him homage. God came to earth to reveal himself to us. And one of the very important lessons that we learn from Epiphany Sunday, and from every encounter that we have with God, is this. When God reveals himself to his people, together with that revelation, is presented to every human heart, a compelling choice that must be made. Anytime God reveals himself to us, he compels us to make a choice. When God is revealed, when things that are in the darkness are brought to light, people are no longer allowed to sit on the fence in between. They have to choose for or they have to choose against, but there's no such thing as standing on the fence. And if you decide to stand on the fence, that's choosing against. Jesus says very clearly in some places of the Gospels of that simple phrase, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you do not gather with me, you will scatter. And so the revelation of God on Epiphany Sunday is it's an important feast because of the way that we are reminded of how God comes to move in us. And not simply, God doesn't come to move in your life and in my life simply to make us know he's real, believe in him, follow him in a sort of generic way, feel good when we walk out of church on Sundays, right? That those aren't part of a life of faith. But the revelation of God comes with a very real choice. I want to tell you just really briefly what it's like to be a priest. When you become a priest, the day that after you become a priest, you wake up and you walk into, and I'm going to use this phrase very precisely, you walk into what's called the school of I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Now, I don't know if any of you here have ever taken classes at that school. We've all been there. Anybody who walks honestly through life walks into that school sooner or later. And when we walk into that school, we find ourselves very quickly in the knowledge of our own limitations and in the presence of all of the things that come with walking into the school of, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, including, for example, the spirit of fear, spirit of discouragement, perhaps, spirit of disillusionment, spirit of anxiety. And one of two things inevitably happen when we have that experience, when we take that class. We either turn around, walk out the door, and give up, or we find out, we start searching for what it is that we have to do in order to pass the test and to make it and to do something. We are compelled to make a choice if we live our life honestly. I have to tell you that one of the greatest fears in my life is this, if not the greatest. The greatest fear in my life is that I might end up at the end of my days standing before the Lord knowing that there were commissions upon my life that I did not fulfill, that I left things in my life undone. That's a very real fear that I have, and sometimes it can be an unhealthy fear because it leads me into those spirits of fear and anxiety, knowing my limitations, understanding, like, yeah, in the end, is anybody an expert? None of us really knows what we're doing, if we're honest. But I do not want to go to the end of my life and stand before God and have God tell me, there were things I had in mind for you that you chose not to do, that you chose not to accept. I can't do that. So that standing alongside of the school of I don't know what I'm doing, we do one of things. We either choose not to accept the call in our life and live in the coast lane where we just kind of follow the current of the river, or we find ourselves searching for whatever it is that we got to do in order to respond to the call that God gives to us when he comes to visit us. And here's the thing about visitation. Here's the thing about Epiphany. Epiphany happened not only because people were looking for God, but also because people weren't looking for God. God reveals himself whether people are searching for him or not. Now, the Magi came to do homage to the king. They were the stargazers. They studied the signs in the skies. And in their own pagan religion, when they saw the signs that were being revealed in the skies, they knew that a king was being born. And so they traveled west to find the king. They followed the star. It's a real astronomical event that happened in the time that Jesus was born. You can actually go back. There's software. There's things out there. We can go backwards in time. The skies are very predictable. We know what was going on astronomically in the time that Jesus was born. It was a real thing. They came to do homage to the king because they saw a call upon their life that they had the choice to respond to or not. And they made the decision that the cost was worth that journey. Presumably, it wasn't exactly a simple journey. They came from the east. I just found this out after the 10 o'clock mass. Probably they came from Babylon and followed along the fertile crescent, the Euphrates River, to make their way to the Near East, to the place of the land of Israel. They came to do homage to the king because they knew that they were being visited by something significant. But they weren't the only players in the story. The gospel story also speaks about the people that weren't looking for Jesus, including, for example, King Herod. King Herod was not looking to be visited by the Lord. He wasn't searching out a king. He didn't know that a king had arrived. But he also was visited and was compelled to make a choice as to whether he was going to walk away from that visitation changed or unchanged. And what did Herod want to do? He was just not interested in changing. He wasn't. And so he tried to deceive the Magi by saying, go search him out so that I too may do him homage. But he wanted to destroy God's visitation and continue along coasting the comfortable highway. He saw his own limitation. He walked into the school of, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and he walked right out. And he didn't want to be moved. He didn't want to be changed. God does this in the life of every human heart. None of us live a life absent of epiphany moments. And God is constantly revealing himself to us. We know this, right? God's providence never leaves any moment of any minute of any day of our life. But it's also true that there are certain seasons where God's epiphanies are much stronger or much more direct, where he gives us windows of opportunity to either say yes or say no, but we have to make a choice. And what will we choose? We can choose to do whatever it takes to be equipped for the mission that we see God giving us, or we can try to destroy the epiphany from our life and remove it from our life so that we don't have to make that change. And there is a very real and grand difference between those two paths, right? It's not simply a wash, whether we say yes or no. It's not like things turn out the same, right? One way or the other. So on this Epiphany Sunday, the lesson for you and me as Christians, if we're honest with our lives, is very simple. It's that the Father comes to you and to me to bring to us our salvation so that we may respond by doing him homage and giving him the gift of responding to his call upon our life. Because there is a call upon your life and a mission upon your life and a mission upon my life that is unique to you and to me that God is never going to give to anybody else ever in human history. And if you and I don't do it, what God asks us to do, it's simply not going to be done. It's going to be missed. I don't want to stand before God knowing that something was missed. None of us want to stand before God knowing that something was missed. But this is the thing about life. We only get to move forward. We don't get to go backwards and redo stuff. We don't get to continue to make ourselves, like, to go to the end of our life and say, all right, no, this was wrong. I got, all right, let me, hold on, stay here. I'm going to go back into my past. I'm going to fix that, then I'm going to come back, and then we'll be ready. Right? Yeah, so of course not. God desires his visitations to us to be a moment of great encouragement. To know that we've been chosen to receive God's revelation upon us. And in the moment when you and I realize that we're simply not equipped to know how to respond, that we too make a journey of whatever cost it takes to do God homage by our lives and to give him the gifts that are his due. And in fact, to give him the gifts that bring our lives to their fulfillment and to their joy. That's my prayer for us on this Epiphany Sunday. For a very specific grace this day, at the beginning of this new year, at the beginning of this new decade, that Jesus comes to bring his lordship to, not only, as we said, at the beginning of Mass, upon the world all around, but very specifically and personally into each of our lives. God's not done revealing his mission to you personally and revealing his mission to me personally. And we don't ever need to feel overwhelmed or afraid when we feel overwhelmed or afraid of the fact that we don't know what we're doing. We just need to be honest that that's how we feel and then say, God, show me what you want to do. Show me how you're going to respond, because you're never going to give me a mission that by your grace will not be fulfilled in me. Show me, Lord, simply how to respond to your grace. And I will find the joy that you have come to reveal to me.